Pagbati sa inyo mga kapatid at mga kaibigan sa pangalan ng ating Panginoong Hesus Kristo. Just for the record, this is the 100th lecture of our series on Christian holiness. We started this in 2018, even before the pandemic, at narito tayo ngayon sa 100th na ating pag-aaral. Nagpapasalamat ako sa Panginoon sa kanyang pagtutustos. But whatever we do, we may try to be comprehensive, but we can never exhaust the subject of holiness. Holiness is as infinite as the holiness of God Himself. But we can try to be comprehensive, and that is what we are doing. At tayo ay nasa paksa na pinag-aaralan na natin ang internal hindrances sa usapin ng kabanalan. At ito ay isinasalungat natin sa mga doktrina na tinatanggap natin mula sa labas. Errors are absorbed externally, but there are internal hindrances to holiness. May sinabi si Pedro in 2 Peter chapter 1 na may mga biyaya na dapat tayong palaguin, at kung hindi tayo lumalago sa mga biyayang iyon, ay may dalawang bagay na nangyayari sa atin. We are being ineffective, the word that is used for that which is idle or lazy. In other words, we become inactive in holiness. And the other is we are being unfruitful, which is the word for useless, unproductive in graces. It shows that we cannot be neutral on holiness. We cannot be static. It is either you are growing in graces of holiness or you are internally hindered. Kaya ang tinitingnan natin ngayon, matapos sa mga doktrinang panlabas, ay ang maaaring mga prosesong panloob na nangyayari sa atin na hindi natin masyadong nararamdaman. At dito ang mga internal hindrances ay tinulad ko sa isang short-circuiting process to growth in holiness, in this mixed metaphor, which however makes the point, maring may dumadaloy na kapangyarihan sa atin, ngunit ito ay napipigil, nahadlangan ng mga panloob na sagabal. Isa rito ang legalistic thinking, ikalawang unfocused living, at ang ikatlo na titingnan natin ngayon ay ang dominant sinning. Ngunit ang idiniin ko dito ay even when doctrinally correct, internal hindrances can slow down or even derail pursuit of holiness. Kaya huwag tayong magkasya lang na tama ang doktrina natin, sapagkat sa panloob natin ay maaring may sumasagabal. Sa mga tinalakay natin, inuna natin ang legalistic thinking, a mindset or orientation dictated by law in attitude to holiness. Samantalang ang tunay na mananampalataya ay pinalaya na sa legalismo, sa usapin ng pagpapawalang sala, ngunit ang problema ng maraming mananampalataya, they are still saddled by legalistic thinking in sanctification. At dito idiniin ko ang prinsipyo that to stand on any basis other than God's grace in Christ is rejected. Yan may naisa batas ng Diyos sa kanyang pagpapawalang sala o sa ating pagpapakabanal, ang tinitindigan natin ay ang biyaya ng Diyos kay Kristo Jesus. Ang ikalawa na tinitingnan natin ay ang unfocused living, a life that is without definitive direction in progressive holiness. Itinulad ko sa isang proyekto, dapat ang pagpursigin natin ng kabanalan kung saan you define your project of sanctification and then you equip your project of sanctification with the Holy Spirit and the means of grace that are all available to believers. Ang mahalagang makita natin para talagang definido ang ating pamumuhay ng kabanalan ay natutukoy natin ang kasalanan at natutukoy natin ang biyaya na ating nililinang sa ating proyekto. There is no mortifying of sin without the simultaneous cultivating of opposite graces. Dadako tayo ngayon sa huling bahagi ng ating internal hindrances, at yan ang dominant sinning. Dominant sinning is a sin, or it can be several sins, that has enslaving power over one's life pattern and routine. Maraming isang kasalanan na mayroong kapangyarihang umalipin sa regular na pamumuhay ng isang mananampalataya. Again, let me begin with something that is true of all believers. In union with Christ, the believer is free from dominion of sin. Pinalaya tayo sa paghahari ng kasalanan. Ito ay maliwanag sa Romans 6:14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Sa konteksto, maliwanag na tumutukoy ito sa paghahari ni Adan bilang federal head o bilang kinatawan ng sangkatauhan, ngunit ang mananampalataya ay hindi na nakabilang doon, kundi nakabilang na sa ikalawang Adan, sa huling Adan na ang ating Panginoong Jesucristo. "Therefore, Adamic sin has no reign over us. However, this is not referring to particular sins, but the mastery of sin nature." Hindi na kailangang maghari sa atin ang likas ng ating kasalanan. Nararanasan natin ito sa tinatawag nating definitive sanctification na pinag-aralan natin noon pang lecture number 5, "Every True Believer Experiences Definitive Sanctification, which is a radical breach with sin at the beginning of conversion." However, ang problema, it takes time to grow in progressive sanctification when it comes to particular sins. Hindi agad yan lumalabas sa paglago natin ng kabanalan sa mga particular na kasalanan. Ang likas ng kasalanan, hindi kailangang maghari, ngunit ang mga particular na kasalanan ay kinakailangan na gapiin natin bilang hindi na pinaghaharian ng likas ng kasalanan. Kaya following Romans 6:14, you see that it becomes an exhortation by the Apostle Paul in verses 15 following. "What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Absolutely not. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were transferred to, and having been liberated from sin, you become enslaved to righteousness." So sa verse 14, sinabi niya kung ano na ang katayuan natin, pero verses 15 and following, sinasabi niyang implikasyon sa ating pamumuhay ay dapat na naipapamuhay natin na hindi na tayo alipin ng kasalanan, kundi nagpapaalipin sa katuwiran. But in case of progressive sanctification, it takes time. So the status of verse 14 is a reality, but it needs appropriation for one's day-to-day life. The reality of prominent sins in believers is recognized in the New Testament. Maaaring ang isa ay tunay na mananampalataya, ngunit may mga umiiral pa rin na mga particular na kasalanan sa kanya. Halimbawa, in Philippians 1:15 following, Apostle Paul refers to preachers who are motivated by envy, by competitiveness against the Apostle Paul himself, although Paul says he rejoices that they are preaching Christ. So in this case, the problem is not the message, the problem is sinful motive. And then later, he explains why it was Timothy he sent, because the rest are still characterized by self-interest, unlike Timothy, who will actually seek the interests of the Philippians. And in no way in these passages does Paul question the professed faith of those he was referring to, but nonetheless the sins that they are characterized by ay tinukoy ni Apostol Pablo, at maaaring mangyari yan sa mga tunay na mananampalataya. But a key text here is that of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, dahil ito ay babala nang may akda sa na mangyayari sa mga tunay na mananampalataya. Let me just have a word on translation, because different versions have different translations. Ang siguro naging familiar sa atin ay ang King James Version that speaks of the sin that so easily besets us, madaling bumitag sa atin. Then you have the New American Standard, followed by the New International Version, the sin that so easily entangles, ang kasalanan na madaling nakakagapos sa atin. And you have the ESV, which is the sin which clings so closely Kung pagsama-samahin natin yan, makikita natin ang kasalanan tinutukoy in the keywords easily and closely. Therefore, we are referring here to the sin that is just near, not remote. Hindi malayong mangyari, kundi malapit lang sa ating buhay. And it needs little or no resistance. Hindi nilalabanan o kaya ay napakakaunti ng pakikipaglaban sa kasalanan na iyon, kung kaya't madaling bumitag. Ito siguro ang masasabi natin na dominant sin. But it is important for us to understand the author's thrust here. Chapter 12 verse 1 follows the familiar chapter 11 of Hebrews that speaks of the Old Testament heroes of faith. Ang napakadali at kadalasan sa paglalahad ng mga talatang ito, ang nagiging approach ay matatawag nating model approach. Hebrews 11 is often used as an example of people of faith in the Old Testament who are models to us how to live by faith. Now, to me, that is a very inadequate understanding of what the author is trying to say. What the author is saying is, in fact, that because of Christ, people of faith in the New Testament have the advantage. Sa halip na tagagaya lamang tayo ng mga bayani ng pananampalataya sa lumang tipan, sila ay mga cheerers. Sila ay tagabunyi natin at ang talagang lumalaban na ngayon sapagkat tinupad na ni Jesucristo, Jesus being the author and finisher of our faith, we are to be Christ-centered in our understanding of living by faith. So instead of just us following Old Testament models, the Old Testament believers have lived their faith in an exemplary way, but ang sinasabi ng mayakda ay mas nakahihigit tayo dahil kay Jesucristo. Kaya when Jesus is not the object of faith, biblical comparison will prove discouraging. At nagiging dahilan yan, parang iba ay hindi na magpursigi at isipin nila na sila ganitong mga bayani nga ng lumang tipan, si Abraham, si Noah, mga tao na naging huwara ng pananampalataya, huwag mong asahan na ako ay hihigit pa doon. But that is precisely what the writer is saying. Because of Christ, we have the greater advantage than those people, and therefore we should not be saddled with just comparative approach to Old Testament heroes of faith. Ang sinasabi rito ay mas kaya natin. Kaya kung isang mananampalataya ay nagiging talunan at may umiiral sa kanya na kasalanan, tingnan natin ang mga sintomas nito. The symptoms of dominant sinning is lack of serious resistance. In fact, that is what we see following chapter 12 verse 1 is the warning in chapter 12 verse 4. You have not yet resisted unto blood, fighting against sin. Ayan ang buhay ng isang umiiral ang kasalanan sa kanya ay hindi niya ninalabanan. At ang inaasahan ay dahil kay Jesucristo, mas kaya nating labanan ang kasalanan. Mounting serious resistance is promised its victory for the believer in the New Testament. And siguro familiar sa atin ang James chapter 4 verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, you cannot be more explicit than that. If you resist the devil, the result is that he will flee. But of course, it is just one part of the sentence. Ang sinasabi ay, it is resistance in conjunction with submission to the will of God, which of course corroborates what we said last week. It should be pursuing grace in opposite to the sin that you are trying to mortify. If you are resisting the devil, there must be something you are submitting to God as a way of resisting the devil. But if you resist the devil, ang pangako ay siya ay tatakas sa iyo. Hindi kanya kaya. kung ikaw ay talagang lumalaban. Sa makatawid, ang dahilan ng ating pagkatalo, ang dahilan na umiiral ang kasalanan sa atin, ay sapagkat wala ang paglaban sa atin. Failure of resistance is due to enslaving habit of sin. Nakakaalipin ang kasalanan kung hindi natin nilalabanan. At ang pagkaalipin ito, I already pointed this out in previous lessons, but it is good to refresh ourselves. The enslaving habit of sinning is due to two things. The first is that being enslaved by profit. May pakinabang sa ating kasalanan ginagawa at ang pakinabang na yun ang siyang umaalipin sa atin. Halimbawa, ang isang alipin ng pandaraya sapagkat may madaling pakinabang sa kanyang pandaraya sa halip na siya ay magsumikap sa matapat na trabaho ay idinaraan niya sa daya. And the Bible tells us something about that in Proverbs 13:11. I like the NIV translation of this: dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. So you see, the contrast here is that of dishonest money. Dishonest money denotes easy money, whereas the contrast is gathering it little by little. And so when a person is naging hilig niya ang madali ang pakinabang, madali ang kita, ay madali siyang maalipin ng pandaraya. And the other enslaving habit is that of pleasure. Isang halimbawa, a person who is pleased by ego tripping with flatterers, at ang nagiging resulta niyan, hindi siya makatagal sa kritisismo, and sometimes preaching that can be very searching is something that he does not want to submit to because he is in the habit and in slavery to ego-tripping with flatterers. And this is just one example. I did not even use the obvious case of wrongful pleasure, but the point is, when pleasure dominates us, then it becomes dominant sinning, that is enslaving because of the pleasure it derives. At ang dominant sinning will not stop without serious fighting. Hindi maaring titigil ang isang nagaharing kasalanan na hindi mo nilalabanan. Hindi mo pwedeng hintayin na lamang na tumigil na yan, magsasawa din yan. Hindi ganoon, kundi ikaw ang gagapiin yan ng isang nagaharing kasalanan sa iyong buhay kung hindi mo siya lalabanan. Samantalang ang pangako, kung labanan mo, ikaw ay magwawagi. And then it becomes worse with the second symptom, and that is the force of willful intention. James warns against those who make plans without consideration of God's will, not reckoning with the shortness and the uncertainty of life. And James rebukes them as being boastful in their arrogance. And this is followed by knowing what to do and not doing it, which is the sin of omission. So, magkakarugtong yan. Ang pagpaplano na walang konsiderasyon sa Diyos ay nagiging kayabangan na nauuwi sa alam ang dapat gawin, ngunit hindi ginagawa, na nagiging kasalanan sa kanya, which again shows the connection of willful intention and dominant sinning. Now, there is a promise of escape to one overtaken by temptation. You are familiar with 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that. You are able, with the temptation, also make way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So, doon sa mga ayaw ng kasalanan, ngunit sila ay inaabutan ng tukso, may pangako ng pagtakas sa tukso. This describes a believer seeking to avoid unnecessary temptation. Now, this is a different thing from one who is under dominant sinning. In the case of dominant sinning, it is a case of chasing after temptation. Magkaiba yun. Being overtaken by temptation, inaabutan ka ng tukso, iba yung hinahabol mo ang tukso. Now, the second case is a case of dominant sinning, chasing after temptation. Sometimes it is intentional with self-justifying rationalization, intentional yung kanyang kasalanan, pero pinangangatwiranan niya na hindi ako makakapagsabas ngayon dahil ako ay kinakailangan magtrabaho, bagamat gustong-gusto niyang magtrabaho kaysa sumamba sa Panginoon, ginagawa niyang pangangatwiran. At ang mas malala ay intentional with self-scheming deliberation. Ito ay tuwirang kasalanan na kanyang gagawin, na kanyang pinaplanong gawin, ngunit gumagawa siya ng mga paraan na maitago ito. And I want to issue you this warning that if this is happening, this is very hardening of the heart. Ito ay nakapagpapatigas ng puso kung ikaw ay tuwirang nagpaplano kung paano ka magkakasala, sapagkat ang kasalanan ay maaaring nakakapakinabang sa'yo, o ang kasalanan ay nakapagbibigay sa'yo ng kasiyahan. Eh, kung sa dahilan yan, ikaw mismo ang nagpaplano ng kasalanan. That is the warning of the writer of Hebrews. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So there's the hardening effect of sin when you are taken over by its deceitfulness. Kung ikaw ay na baluta ng linlang ng kasalanan, ito ay nakapagpapatigas ng puso. At ang ibig sabihin niyan ay nawawala ang iyong pagkasensitibo sa nangyayaring kasalanan. So willful sinning defiles the conscience. Yan ang babala ng 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 about what it calls seared conscience. Isang konsensya na parang nasunog na, at yung nasunog na balat, nawawala na ang nerve endings niyan, hindi na makadama ng sakit man o ano pa man, ganyan ang nangyayari sa konsensya na ine-expose sa mga kasalanan na planado at sa halip na iwasan ay talagang tuwiran na ginagawa. Now, these are the symptoms of dominant sinning. And when you are guilty of that, there is no way of dealing with that except by serious exercise of disciplines, mga disiplina na kailangan. Now, let me first emphasize that victory over dominant sins is attainable without perfectionism. Now, dito, maaari kang mahulog sa pangangatwira na lahat naman hindi makakarating sa perfection, therefore if I have a dominant sin, I should not worry about it. This is just part of my imperfection. Wrong, because victory over dominant sins is attainable, without suggesting that we can attain perfection. May sinabi si Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Now take note that Apostle Paul can confidently say, I have nothing against me. But he does not claim perfection, because he says, it does not make me innocent. But a person can come to a point na maasabi niyang, I have nothing against me, in the sense that I have dealt everything in the presence of God. What needs to be confessed, I confess. And therefore, wala na kahit nahatulan niyo ako, ay hindi ko kailang hatulan ang aking sarili. Handa ako sa hatol ng Diyos, na that shows you a man who is not afraid of being under scrutiny because he knows himself to be without anything against himself in terms of dominant sin. But spiritual disciplines that I shall mention here must be built on consistent repentance and confession of sin. Binalaan ko kayo ng paulit-ulit na anumang disiplina natin ay hindi maaring tumayo sa kanilang sarili maliban na ito ay itayo sa pagsisisi sa kasalanan at sa pagkukumpisal ng kasalanan sa ating Diyos upang ang kapatawaran ay na kay Jesucristo. I warned you against legalistic thinking of compensating activities to cover for sin that will not do. You must begin with repentance from sin and confession of sin. May sinabi sa 1 John 3 verse 9, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. I know that in some translations it is misunderstood because it often comes out like the one who is born of God does not sin. But the tense of the verb is a continuing tense. It is not saying that there is no sin because that will contradict what John himself said in the very first chapter of his first letter. What it is saying is a person who is truly born of God will not continue on sinning. And in what way does he not continue on sinning? It is repentance and confession of sin that stops the continuation of sin. So even if it repeats again, you have stopped its continuity by repentance and confession. So anong discipline ang kailangan nating panatilihin? Gagamitin ko mismo mga salita ng Bagong Tipan para dito. Ang una ay ang mga disiplina na ang disiplina na kailangan ng tamang diwa, at ang susunod dito ay ang tamang kilos. Dalawang uri ang gusto kong tingnan natin. The first is that which follows the cry of the Apostle Paul in Romans 7:24 following, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he says, I thank Christ Jesus the Lord. Dito makikita natin that there is a sense of defilement and the inexcusable condition of sin. Hanggat hindi ka dumarating sa punto na yan, na ang kasalanan ay nararamdaman mo ang karumihan nito at walang anumang pangangatwiran dito, ay madadaig ka lagi ng kasalanan. Kailangan mo ng ganito tuwi-tuwi na, the cry of wretchedness, and yet the utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, total dependence on the Lord Jesus for acceptance with God. Ito ang panatilihin natin. This is self-denying because it will challenge your vaunted self-esteem and self-superiority. It will make you admit you are wretched in your own self because of sin, but our acceptance with God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other, which has been addressed time and again in our series, is pluck out the right eye and cut off the right hand. So they are in the proper order. It is the man who sends his sinful wretchedness, and his acceptance is only in Jesus Christ, who will have the discipline of plucking out the right eye and cutting off the right hand, which is taken from Matthew 5:29 following. For the person who may be guilty of visual adultery, ay kinakailangan iwasan niya iyon. Tumutukoy ito sa resolve and self-denial to remove occasions leading to temptation. Ano man ang mga okasyon na iyon na nagiging dahilan ng tukso sa kasalanan, kinakailangan mo ng resolve, kinakailangan mo ng pagtanggi sa sarili upang ito ay iyong tanggalin sa iyong buhay. And the idea of plucking out and cutting off means that they are to be done radically as opposed to that which is done gradually. Alam niyo, to do it gradually is only to accumulate more excuses why it should be done. Whereas to be done radically means abstinence. You abstain from it in order to displace from dominance. So the right spirit and consequent behavior must link together as disciplines. Yung tamang diwa at ang tamang kilos ay dapat na magtambal palagi bilang mga disiplina. Kung hindi natin gagawin yan, sin will dominate. Maring nandoon ka sa trying to pluck out your right eye and cutting off your right hand, pero wala naman yung "oh wretched man that I am." O parang nandun ka sa "oh wretched man that I am," but no plucking out the right eye and cutting off the right hand, and both are doomed to failure. Ang kailangan mo ay ang pagsasama ng dalawang ito sa tamang diwa, tamang kilos, upang manaig ka sa kasalanan, sa halip na ang kasalanan ang manaig sa iyo. Kaya iwasto natin ang ating pag-iisip sa ganitong usapin ng dominant sinning. Ang tamang pag-iisip ay, although sin nature in Adam no longer has mastery, I need to appropriate it in actual victory over particular sins in my life. Kaya tukuyin mo ang mga particular sins na iyon, and it will result in this resolve. I will concentrate my resistance against the sins that tend to dominate, and will seek to overcome them by the Spirit's enabling. Samantalang kung ang nananatiling kasalanan ng umiral sa atin, isipin natin the fact of imperfection must include the reality of some sins dominating over my life. O nagiging excuse at ang magiging ugali nito ay, I should just accept the dominance of some sins in my life as part of my sinfulness. I should not make exertion against them. At kung ganyan ka mag-isip, laging magkakaroon ka ng dominant sinning. And dominant sinning will short-circuit and even totally derail your pursuit of holiness. Ang hamon ko sa bawat isa, even when beleaguered against sin, never surrender the fight. Kahit na kung minsan ay parang naiipit ka na ng kasalanan, wag na wag kang sumuko sa kasalanan. Ang kasalanan ay talunan na kay Jesucristo, at ang hinahanap sa atin ay labanan ito at magkaroon tayo ng tamang disiplina na makita natin that we are wretched men apart from Christ, but that we can, by the Holy Spirit, pluck out the right eye and cut off the right hand, and then overcome sin. Kaya sa ating pakikipaglaban sa kasalanan, magbantay tayo sa ating mga internal hindrances, sapagkat maaring tama ang doktrina natin, ngunit pinababayaan natin ang mga sagabal na panloob, kasama rin ang dominant sinning. Pinalaya tayo sa dominion of sin, ngunit ang pang-araw-araw na pamumuhay niyan ay magkaroon tayo ng pananaig sa ating mga particular na kasalanan upang magpatuloy tayo sa ating kabanalan. Maraming salamat sa inyong pakikinig. Sana kayo ay nakinabang. At muli, ang pagpapala ay sumaiyo inyo mula sa pag-ibig ng Ama, sa biyaya ng kanyang anak na si Jesucristo, at sa pakikipisa ng banal na Espiritu.